Good morning. It's good to welcome everyone into the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. It's good to be in God's house this morning. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, Send the Light. So if you could stand with us, please, as we join in our open our service this morning.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves in the light. May everywhere abound, send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. Shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, let us gather jewels for the crown of love. Send the light,
thank you for joining in this morning. For visitors here this morning, I want to welcome you to our service today. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning. Good to see everyone today.
Well, hello, folks. It's good to see you today. We're glad you're here. We welcome those watching by Facebook and YouTube and those listening by the radio. We welcome you to our service today. I'll be preaching today from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32. We'll be going there, and we'll be talking about the right look in hard times, so we'll talk about that this morning. I'm glad you came to be with us, and just remember, we're one day closer to heaven, and that's how we need to look at it, and look to the Lord, and trust in Him every day. May we pray together. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for this time that You've given us. We pray today, Lord, for Your help. We pray for Your comfort, Your encouragement. And we pray, Lord, for Your presence just in a mighty way with us today. We need You, and we need Your help. We pray that as we worship today, we would worship You out of hearts of love for all Your goodness to us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a quick note about some of the announcements in your bulletin. You'll see in your bulletin there's a list of upcoming events for the summer. There's Easter egg hunt, Mother's Day celebration, a recognition, graduate recognition, and then also Vacation Bible School. So take note of those and add those to your calendar. And also on the back of your bulletin, there's a special announcement. We know of all the things going on in Poland and Ukraine. Our Rotary Club, Loudoun Rotary Club, has set up an account, and we're going to take donations for that and wire that money over to, we have a Rotarian over in Poland right now helping with refugee efforts and humanitarian efforts. So these funds will be directly, he can get those funds, buy the supplies needed, and help those refugees that's there. So there's a list, there's an announcement in your bulletin about that. I'll be glad to answer any questions about that if you have any after church. And it's pretty clear there what to do with the, if you want to make a donation, where to mail that to and who to make the check out to. So we're going to try to help all we can with the efforts there. We're going to continue with our song service this morning, Because He Lives and Standing on the Promises. So if you join in with us with these two very familiar hymns.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Aren't you glad we can stand on the eternal promises of God? We're going to introduce, and we'll be singing this song a couple of times. It's evidence. There's a lot of evidence about God's goodness and His faithfulness to us, and it's all around us. So we're going to ask that you, if you're able to stand with us as we sing this song, and you can sit on the second one. So if you can stand with us, if you're able to stand, join in with us. Evidence.
All throughout my history, Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for strength. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of Your goodness all over my life. All over and fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory.
Is all around us of His goodness and faithfulness. we'll sing about some of those. He's the only one that can turn graves into gardens, and Brian will have the solo part.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together.
Into garden, you turn bones into water.
tank seat in the highway. You're the only one it can. You turn graves into garden. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who
Heavenly Father, you are all those things and so much more. We thank you for the promises that you've made. We pray the promises that you have still yet to fulfill. We thank you for the hope of heaven that we've sang about. We thank you for the cross and the mercy and grace that was provided at the cross. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your direction and leadership in our life. We pray that we would seek ways to serve you better each and every day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. One announcement, the deacons will meet today at 4 o'clock. So deacons will meet today at 4 o'clock. Jeremiah 32:27 is the verse that I want to read, and then we'll be looking at other verses here in this chapter. When I was a student at New Orleans Seminary, one of my favorite professors down there was a man by the name of Dr. Harold Bryson. He was the preaching professor, and I took about everything I could from him. And he probably helped me more than any other person in trying to understand what it is to be a pastor and preacher and handling the Word of God. And he told us one day in class, he said, "Fellas," he said, "just remember this." He said, "Every time you stand, that what you need to remember is that there is a broken heart on every pew." And that has helped me more in my pastoring ministry and preaching than probably anything else that he said, because it's true. You know, in America today, we're going through a very difficult time. And I'll just be honest with you, it's been painful to watch. In our community this week, there's been pain. I know in your life, there's been pain. And you know, it's everywhere. I mean, it's community, it's in our country, it's in the world, it's wherever we are. And that's what life is. And so Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. For many years, the book of Jeremiah has been one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was getting ready to go through a very difficult time. By the time this took place in chapter 38, we find a few chapters later, we find Jeremiah in a prison. The prison that he was placed in was a dungeon. Really what it was like a well, and they just kind of dropped him down in this well, and that was his prison. The nation of Israel was getting ready to go into 70 years of captivity. They were going to be taken from the land of Israel, from Jerusalem, to a place called Babylon by a king by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. So that's the setting here of 32 of Jeremiah. But in verse 27, here's the words that I want you to hear. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Whenever we go through hard times and difficulties in life, we tend to take several looks. First, we look back and we kind of try to figure out, well, what's going on here with the difficulty or hard time or challenge in life that we're going through. Then I think we take another look where we look within and we take self-examination of ourselves. And then we sometimes have a tendency to look down to get discouraged and defeated and all that. But I want to suggest to you what Jeremiah is saying here is that there's another look that we need to take. It's not backwards, it's not looking within, it's not looking down, but it's to look up to the Lord. Because He is our help, and He is our fortress. He is our stronghold in a time of difficulty, a time of hardship. So here's the idea. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, here's the contrast I want you to get from all this, okay? In Jeremiah 22:27, is there anything too hard for me? The question was not asked of God. Jeremiah's not asking the question. The question was not asked about God. The question was not asked to God. But it was asked by God. God is asking this question. And the question He has here, is anything too hard for me? Now, Jeremiah gives us the answer, and he's given it to us already. If you back up in verse 17 there, listen to what Jeremiah said there. Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for You. So that's the answer to the question that we're talking about this morning. So what Jeremiah does here, he does something that we all can do. We can look up and we can look to God. And we can put our faith and we can put our trust in Him. Because He tells us here, there's nothing too hard for me to do. And so what I want to do is make some practical applications here that are absolutely true and things that will help us in the most difficult times in life. First of all, there's no promise that God cannot keep. God will keep His promises that He made to us. Verse 21 and 22 of Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah looks back about 800 years from the time that he's writing, and he's talking about the nation of Israel and how they spent many years, for over 400 years, in a time of bondage in a place called Egypt. And so what he's doing here is he's really looking at the promise that God made to them. And so he goes to this and he talks about the bondage down in Egypt. Verse 21 of Jeremiah 32, You have brought Your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with strong hand and outstretched arm, with great terror. You have given them this land, the land of Canaan, where they were living. So God takes them out of that land of Egypt. He brings them into the promised land. And so during a very difficult time that they're going to face now, what Jeremiah does is to remind them of the promises of God. There was a school teacher in Canada by the name of Everett Storms. What he decided to do was to go through the Bible, and what he wanted to do was try to count all the promises that God had made in the Bible. He read through the Bible 27 times. On this project that he worked on, it took him a year and a half to do this. But he concluded that there were 7,487 promises that God made to the human race. But he also discovered this, there was an additional 1,400 promises that God had made to nations and countries and other people. So that's a lot of promises in the Bible. But here's what I can tell you, that God, you know, He's kept every promise that He's made. He is keeping every promise He's made. And He will stand true to the promises that He's given to us. In Numbers 23:19, the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? God is a promise-keeping God. See, our faith and trust is built on that very verse right there, to know that God will keep His promises. How could you trust a God that's going to lie to you? How could you ever trust a God that doesn't keep the promises that He's made to us? Well, that would be impossible to do. So why is that important to know that? Because there are going to be times when you find yourself in the middle of a storm. There are going to be times when you go through difficulty and hardship in life, and you're going to need these promises that God has given to us. So it's only through the promises of God that we can find our footing in difficult times. Read a book one time about Tiger Woods. And in this book I read about Tiger, it's talking about Tiger when he was a little boy. And Tiger got to a place where all he wanted was a tricycle. So every day he'd ask his daddy about, you know, I want a tricycle. And he kept bugging his daddy about wanting a tricycle. And so finally his dad told him, he says, okay, I'll think about it. Well, Tiger didn't say anything else or anything about it. But one day what happened was his daddy brought a tricycle in. And he got the tricycle. And they asked Tiger's dad about Tiger's reaction. They said, well, why didn't he bug you any more about it or ask you any more questions or anything like that about the tricycle? He said, because Tiger knew that I would keep my promise that I made to him. I promised him I'd get him a tricycle, and I did that. You see, we can trust God, and we can trust the promises of God. Tiger's dad's an earthly father. But think about our heavenly Father. Think how much greater He is. And think about the promise-keeping power that He has to us. Number two, there is no prayer that God cannot answer. Verse 21 again of Jeremiah 32. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders and a strong hand and outstretched arms. Now, have you ever thought about why God brought them out of Egyptian bondage? The Bible tells us the reason that God brought them out of Egyptian bondage is because they prayed and they asked God to do it. So God answered their prayers. Exodus 2:23-25. Listen to this. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned. They groaned in their heart because of the bondage. And they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Listen to verse 24. So God heard their groaning. God heard their prayer. God listened to their hearts when they cried out to Him. And so He did. He listened and He answered their prayer. One of the greatest statements I've ever read about prayer is given to us in this quote. And I don't know who made this quote, but I've written the quote down. But it says this, that nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Prayer can do great things. And this statement really is based on Scripture that we have in the New Testament. John 5:14-15, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The promise is that God will hear our prayers and that God will answer our prayers. God is not limited by circumstance like we are. God has no limitations. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And as we've read here today, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible for God to do. So that is another thought of encouragement here from this chapter today. Number three, there's no problem that God cannot solve. Jeremiah 32:19 says this, You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. In other words, God sees, God knows. There's no problem that he cannot stop. You know why that's important to all of us here today? Because all of us in this room today have problems. The second reason that's important for us to know is this, is because everybody here today, all of us here today, we have problems that only God can solve. And so that's why it's important. You see, the greatest problem that humankind faces is a problem of sin. But listen, what the Bible says in one of the most famous analogies in the Bible, in Jeremiah 12:23, here's how Jeremiah explained that. He said, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spots?" In other words, only God can solve the sin problem. Only God can change a heart. Only God can give us forgiveness of sin. Only God can do that. But whatever problem we face in life, God has the answer for it. Only God can comfort every hurt. Only God can heal every wound. Only God can solve every problem. And only God can forgive sin, which is our greatest problem that we face. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And He died on the cross in order to give us forgiveness. He came and died on the cross of Calvary to solve the greatest problem that we have. And that is the problem of sin that separates us from God. So God took the greatest problem the human race has ever faced and solved it. And He solved that problem the only way He could, by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Now, if He could solve that problem, He can solve all the other problems that we face. Number four, there's no person that God cannot save. The point in case is a man that's mentioned here in this chapter, and is found here in verse 28, where his name is mentioned, and his name is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, a very wicked man, we know that. He did a lot of damage in his lifetime toward people. But there was something that happened in the book of Daniel. God got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 4 that King Nebuchadnezzar went out into the field. He just kind of went off. He started eating grass like an animal. Daniel chapter 4. God humbled him. God brought him down. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar in verse 26 of Daniel 4, or verse 27 rather, he said, "Nebuchadnezzar, here's what you've got to do. You've got to break off your sins." Now, what he was telling Nebuchadnezzar to do is this: you've got to admit your need for the Lord. You need to repent, change your mind about God, change your mind about what you think about Him. You need to acknowledge your sin, your need for God, and put your faith and trust in Him. Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it then, but later he did. Verse 34, here's what Nebuchadnezzar said: "And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven." What's going on? He's getting saved. He's turning his life over to the Lord. He said, "My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever." Now, if God could save a person like Nebuchadnezzar, He can save you. He can save me. There's no person that God cannot save. The only prayer of salvation that God does not answer is that prayer that that person never prays. The person who never asks for salvation, you know, that's the problem. But for those who ask, God will say. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought about another man in the Bible. Probably the most unlikely candidate for salvation in the New Testament was a man by the name of Saul. He later became the Apostle Paul. And before he became a Christian, you know what his job was? His job was to put Christians to death. I mean, he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. He had no, you know, misgivings about what he thought about Christ. But on that road to Damascus, God saved him. God changed his life. Do you remember the day you got saved? Remember when he saved you, changed your life? See, what a wonderful thing that is. But it happened to Nebuchadnezzar, it happened to Paul, it happened to me, happened to you, and that's a great, great examples that we find in the Bible. So the point is this, that no matter what you're facing in life, God is there. God is there. And He's there to help us. I don't know how long ago I got this, but it's kind of been a guide for me that I've written down. And it's really helped me to go back to these things when I think about the Bible and the truth of the Bible. And particularly when you're going through hard times. Let me give you these six things. Number one, keep your life clean. Stay close to Jesus. Talk to Him. Number two, keep your eyes open. Psalm 105:4, keep your eyes upon God. Watch for His works. Be alert for His signs of what He's doing. When we go through hard times, it's very easy to get tunnel vision and just to look at self. But let's keep our eyes open to what God is doing in these situations. Number three, keep your heart grateful. You know, a grateful heart is something that helps us more than anything else. Grateful for God's goodness, and it encourages us. You know, doctors tell us that the healthiest emotion that you can have is a grateful heart. And an attitude of gratitude, I mean, it just changes everything. Number four, keep your purpose firm, the purpose God has for you. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So let's just keep our thoughts on God. Number five, keep your focus on God's Word. Hebrews 6:18. These two things God cannot change. Number one, God cannot lie. When He makes a promise, and the Scripture goes on to say, and He cannot lie when He makes an oath. So that's the two things that God cannot do. Doesn't lie. God doesn't break His promises. God keeps those things. So let's focus on His Word. And then number six, keep your mind on Jesus. Focus on Him. Hebrews 12:1-2, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Was that a difficult time? Yes, it was. Was that a hard time for Jesus? Yes, it was. But He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus could endure the cross because He kept His eyes on eternity. And we can do the same thing when we keep our eyes on eternity. There's no promise that God cannot keep, no prayer that God cannot answer, no problem that God cannot solve, and no person that God cannot save. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, today we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank you that there's nothing too hard for you. And that's the God that you are. And Lord, you know the need of every heart and every person here today. You know what that need is. But here's the promise of the Bible, that you can meet that need. Father, I pray for those who've never been saved, those who maybe have never established a spiritual base with you. I pray that they would do that today. I would pray today that they would put their faith and trust in you as Savior. Father, we ask today for believers today that you would encourage us. Help us, Lord, to think about your promises. Help us to think, Lord, today about your faithfulness and your goodness and your love to us. And Lord, we know that you will help us. And that's the encouragement that we find today. That you're a God who will help. You're a God of hope. And you're a God who stands ready to answer our prayers. Bless us now in this invitation time today. And bring those to a relationship to you today who need to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
Daddy was 67 years old before he ever got saved. We prayed for him, and he just, you know, he's good to us and everything, good dad and all, but he just never would take that step. And one day we were sitting out Friendship Baptist Church there in North City. Invitation was given. He got up, went to the altar, asked the Lord to come in his life and save him. That was a great day. And I remember a time when I made that commitment, you made that commitment. And it's just a wonderful thing to have a relationship with God. But He wants to help us. He does. And we can look to Him. That's the right look. That's what I'm talking about. The right look for anything in life is to look to God. And if we do that, then He's going to do His part. He'll help us. He really will. Go this week with that thought and look to the Lord. Praise team will come at this time with our song of benediction. After that, you're dismissed to go. Remember, deacons, we will meet at 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Pastor. As we keep our eyes on eternity, we'll close with what a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you, you're dismissed.
It just kind of rings.
Somewhere. I don't know if it's.